One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet. Resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
Hey everybody, want to let you know I'm headed back on tour. Friday, September 13th, I'll be in Austin, Texas at the Vulcan, one night only. Saturday, September 14th, I'm at the Granada Theater in Dallas, Texas, one night only. I'm back at the La Jolla Comedy Store Friday, September 20th. And Saturday, September 21st, Salt Lake City, September 27th at the State Room, and Denver, Colorado, Saturday, September 28th at the Oriental Theater. Get your tickets for those shows and all shows on my website now at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpants Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. And I'm starting this episode like I start them all by seriously saying thank you for your support. Thank you for supporting this channel. Thank you for supporting anything I do. I genuinely appreciate it. Y'all changed my life. I love it. I feel like I'm cheating coming in here and just listening to people talk about their lowest times in life and laughing in their face. So thank you for that. Hey, Austin and Dallas, this weekend, I'll be at the Vulcan in Austin. Yeah! Friday night, September 13th. And Saturday, I'll be at the Granada Theater in Dallas. One night only, both. The 14th in Dallas. Get your tickets now on my website, ryansickler.com. And thank you for your support of the Way Back. You got to go see our guest today's Way Back. Lost his virginity on the hood of a Camaro, y'all. Hood scoop. Wasn't easy. Still one of my favorite stories. Go get your tickets to come see me. If I'm in your town when you're around, they're all out there on ryansickler.com. All right. And the Patreon. The Patreon. Listen, we just had a girl who came on. Her cousin was part of this murder case back in Arkansas in the 80s called The Boys on the Tracks. Apparently, these poor kids saw something they weren't supposed to see, and they were wiped out. And after the FBI, CIA, police, and everyone clean up the crime scene at the railroad tracks, days after, a family member goes back to the crime scene and finds one of the kids' foot in the shoe. Damn. After all of these people clean the crime scene.
Wow.
So it's a wild show. It's $5 a month. It's been that since I started.
One foot short.
It ain't going anywhere. That's it, guys. You know what we do here? We highlight the lowlights, and I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have this guest back on the Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Fitzsimmons. Welcome back to the Honeydew, young man.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you're the grounding force of the top storytelling podcast. What do you think it is that makes people so forthcoming with you? And what do you think it is that makes you draw people out? What is that?
Man, first of all, thank you for the compliment.
Yeah.
Can I answer that after we promote your special that's currently out right now? Because we will forget and I would feel terrible about
great,
that.
Great.
But I will answer that.
I appreciate that.
Give me some time to think about it too. Go ahead, promote.
So the special's called Life on Stage and I've been doing it 35 fucking years. And I haven't done a special in about seven. I got stuck with the pandemic. I was going to do one then. So I've got this material that I've been working on for 7 years, going out on the road 35 weeks a year. And this is a lot of people have specials out. Let's be honest. How many of them do an hour on a regular basis? This is hard comedy. It's not a one-man show about how my parents are Persian and I'm bisexual. This is a...
There goes mine now.
Not bisex, bisexual. And no, whatever. I'm proud of it. I feel really good. I feel like it's the best special I've ever done. It's out on YouTube. And
you shot it at the Mothership.
Shot the Mothership, Joe Rogan's Club in Austin. It's getting a ton of views. And, you know, just check it out. Life on Stage. No. Did I say Life on Stage? You know me. Life on Stage is my last special.
You just promoted your last special twice. Okay, wait, what the hell?
You know me. You know me. Remember that.
You know me.
Yeah.
All right. It's called You Know Me. And it's where right now?
It's on YouTube. And my channel is Greg Fitzsimmons on YouTube, at Greg Fitz Show on Twitter, Greg Fitzsimmons on Instagram. Got a lot of clips of it up on Instagram if you want to get a little taste, a little sample. And then, of course, the podcast is Fitz Dog Radio and Sunday Papers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great, and congrats, by the way.
Thanks, man.
Also, I look up to you. You know, you're a little older than me, and I don't mean that. I mean that in an esteemed way.
Yeah, look
and
at your hair.
I want to keep fucking. I want to keep doing specials and shit in the next 7-8 years.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to stop.
No, it's still
I love
exciting.
It. I mean, look, I love this. I genuinely love this because there's no travel involved with it. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But. Going back to your question, first of all, thank you for the compliment. That's very nice to hear. I don't know, man. Do you remember the first time we ever met, actually met and talked? I do.
Is it at the store?
Nope. I'm gonna jog your memory and see if you remember this.
Yeah.
I mean, we certainly crossed.
Yeah.
I mean, but talked.
Right.
So it was San Francisco. I was featuring for Jay Moore.
Uh-huh.
I think we were at Cobb's and you were at Punchline.
Right.
And we all connected after. You might have been staying in the same hotel because I feel like they did that because it was all part of that Live Nation shit. And we came to your room.
Oh, yes.
We came to your room.
Right.
Just the three of us.
Uh-huh.
And Jay's like sort of formally introducing me and then he's telling you this story. And what happened was it turned into this crab feast thing back in the day. But back in the day when you used to have to actually shoot a set, bring your camera, set it up. We used to joke that the hardest thing to do was get 5 minutes clean because something was always, the lights go out. Right. There's a heckler. Yeah. Something always happens.
Bartender puts the blender on.
Yeah. And I do this show and I put it in the back. And there was this black dude named Spike back in the day that did Mo Better Mondays and the Mondays and Tuesdays at the Improv
the
and
black
stuff.
Shows.
That were the black shows in the early part of the week.
Yeah.
And they would pack them out. I did them for him.
I love how fucking comedy is the last bastion of segregation.
Yeah.
You get Monday night black people. And they call it Mo Better Monday, Chocolate Sunday.
Sometimes.
I mean, come
sometimes
on.
Sometimes the clubs are closed.
Yes.
Night you're getting.
The worst night.
By the way, the funniest people
on
the planet.
And they draw.
And
they draw a crowd.
And it's sold out every fucking time.
And then some of them. And then
that's
the Mexican show,
Spike.
Refried Friday,
midnight on those.
A Friday, the worst spot. It, you know, Monday night is the February of days of the week.
You're right, 100%. It's like no one wants to do any fucking thing.
Right.
But I always like doing all those shows just to diversify my audience. I wanted to know I could talk to Mexican people and find something to make them laugh and not just generic shit about working in a cubicle.
No.
Like, you all love that airbrush tailgate. You know what I mean? I want to find
the
shit.
The only thing that works in there is when you get real and you talk about your experience.
And my love of your vaccination scar and all that shit y'all got on your arm. Yeah,
that's
shit like
hilarious.
That.
Yeah. I talk about black guys shaving their heads and they look handsome. I shave mine. I look like I got leukemia. Open with that. Yeah. Right. But also, then when you get to your own material, you got to get to the core of what makes you funny. Mm-hmm. Because you can't mail it in. You got to find out. You got to remind yourself why at the dinner table with your parents, you made them laugh. What was it that when you were in high school hanging out at the gym and you made people, what was that? If you're not that, they're not buying it.
Nope.
Anyway, so Spike.
So Spike, I go up and I have a great five. I'm excited. I'm like, finally. And I'm submitting it back
this
in the day.
This is at Cobb's?
This is at, this is what happened. And we're telling you this story in San
Francisco.
Okay,
got it.
So I knew the booker at Lopez at the time. When Lopez had a late night show, he was like, hey, send me a set. Like,
Bart Coleman?
No, it wasn't Bart at the time. Okay. Adam.
Yeah.
Spiegelman.
Right.
You know,
right.
Adam. Yep. He's a great dude. And he's like, I'd just like to see what you're up to. And I think you could maybe do a set on this show. You can, you know.
Sure.
Diverse. So I get the five and I'm fucking stoked. I go home to watch it. And fucking Spike had showed up. And he's in the back against the wall. And you know, like, stereotypically, like, big black dudes would love to wear that Bluetooth on their ear.
Uh-huh.
He's got that on his ear.
Yeah.
And he's talking to somebody the whole time.
No
right
shit.
Next to my camera.
Really?
On his call.
No.
And he's not quiet at all. And he's like, I'm at the comedy club.
Oh, my God.
I'm at the comedy club. And it just became this thing where we did Tom Segura. It's Tom's favorite story. We just like, I'm at the comedy club, man. Like, he was screaming like that. It's what it sounded like in the camera. So you can't hear anything.
Yeah.
So I know Adam personally. And I'm like, I'm going to send this to him to show him.
Yeah.
This is what it's like to try to get you 5 fucking minutes to do so. And I send it. And he's like, hey, man. I can't hear anything over the big black dude screaming the thing. I was like, yeah, I know. That's why I'm sending it to you. So anyway, Jay, I tell Jay Moore that story. I'm like, yeah, I just fucking sent this low. He's like, you sent it in like that? I'm like, yeah. And he tells you and you look at me and you go, I think you're a fucking idiot. And I started laughing so fucking hard. I was like, Greg Fitzsimmons hates me. And now look at us. That's the first time I really fucking saw it. He told that story. He looked
hilarious.
At me like, I think you're a fucking idiot.
My best man, Mike Gibbons, have you met he's my best friend. He does Sunday papers with me.
Okay.
We were best friends in college.
Oh, is that right?
And then he became a writer, TV writer. He's a big showrunner now. He created Tosh.0. He created he created Spade's last show. He created Norm's last show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So anyway, we're still best friends. We do this podcast together. So at my wedding, my best man, he gets up there and he goes, first words out of his mouth. Like all of you, I couldn't stand Greg when I first met him. I make the worst first impression. I'm just an obnoxious, cocky asshole.
That's hilarious. That's what I meant. Yeah, that's exactly what. And you were sitting down, too. You weren't even in a position of power. You were looking up. You're like,
dude, can I tell you about that hotel? I was at the Punchline one night.
I'm going to answer your question. I never answered your
question. Oh, no, finish it, and then I'm going to tell my story.
All right. I don't really know. I've had this vibe about me where people just come talk to me in my life.
Right.
In my life. I remember I had a girlfriend. This is in the 90s. And we were at a mall together. And I'll never forget. We're in a Gap at the Glendale Galleria. And you can go in this way or this way. It was a two entrance for the big Gap.
Yeah.
And we walk in. And I just see this weird person. They lock eyes with me as they're walking in. And I tell her, that guy's going to come talk to me. She goes, how do you know? I go, he's going to come talk to me.
Yeah.
And here he comes.
Uh-huh.
And they just tell me their life story.
Yeah,
they'll tell me shit.
Yeah.
So, and I listen.
All right.
I'm not your first impression.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm like, oh yeah, do you need help? I don't know.
Well, some people have resting bitch face. You have these droopy dog eyes.
I was going to say my eyes seem warm and maybe welcoming.
Yes.
And then you start to talk to me and you're like, oh, this guy's all kinds of fucked up too. I can relate to this person.
You're not a bad looking guy, but you're not so handsome that it's intimidating at all. Like, not even a little bit intimidating.
Thank you. That's how I feel about myself.
You look like a guy who's been turned down. You've been turned down.
I've been kicked and turned away. And I just turned down, bro. I've been turned upside down. Yeah.
Ridicule.
I'll say this. For a 51-year-old comedian who almost died last year, I fucking look pretty solid, man.
You look good.
And my friend Carlotta, she's the voice of the two shows. She had a saying when she did it, said, I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. And I was like, whew.
Oh, that's good.
I know what I look like. Uh-huh. If this looked like what I've been through, man.
Right.
Man.
Yeah.
So I think it's a warm eyes and a warm heart, Greg Fitzsimmons.
Yep.
And I do genuinely, I love this. I really. Mm-hmm.
And you have this thing with your head.
I'm not texting
and
shit.
It's back and to the side a little bit. No, it's going like, what do you got?
Tell me, Greg.
I'm here. I'm listening. And then, of course, then you top it with that laugh and forget it. Now you're getting
but
a second
also,
and a third
I like
story.
To be, I like to be a, yeah, that's the thing people don't realize. And I want you to be comfortable about, because this shit, the shit we talk about, it's not easy. Like,
yeah.
I do also take pride in the fact that we don't just sit here and shoot the shit on this mm-hmm. show. There's a specific focus for, you know, why we're comedians.
Right.
I mean, this show has made me appreciate comedians even more mm-hmm. than I already did. And I was the biggest fan of all of us because no one can come on here and tell the shit that we tell and spin it into art and laughter that's going to make someone else feel so good about their bullshit. And they didn't even go through what the fuck you went through.
Or if they have, they've never talked about it. They were ashamed mm-hmm. to talk about it. Now we're owning it.
And we're laughing at it. That's very brave. Some people are scared and we're out there fucking laughing in the face. I mean, we're crying too.
Well, I would say, and it's funny because I've been on this show multiple times. Thank you for having me back. And I got a little overwhelmed this morning because I was like, fuck, man, I can't remember what stories I told. So I went back and I must have been on this show 5 times and I listened to, well, including the other show.
The Way Back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I went through and I fast forwarded, but I listened and I wrote down every story that I've told on the show. And it's a lot of them. And half of them are stories that they happened and I was embarrassed to tell anybody. And then I went on stage and I just didn't sit down and write, didn't think of my angle, just walked on stage and went, you know what? I went in the woods in Boston one night and I was going to blow a guy. And then I just, they get shocked. And then the fear of what I just said makes me make it funny mm-hmm. because I got to get out of
you
it.
You better,
now.
Yeah.
And then I record that and that becomes the bit. That becomes
and then we're beating
the
that
rough
into
version
some,
of the bit.
I'm with you, dude.
Yeah.
All right. The hotel. You're going to tell me
the
hotel. Yeah, yeah.
So at the Punchline in San Francisco, which is my second favorite club in the mm-hmm. country. And I say second because if I go to Philly and they go, hey, I thought we were your favorite club. I go, I said second.
Yeah. I'm going to start using that.
Yeah. So I'm there and I'm so comfortable in that room. And that room, if you've never been to San Francisco, go to the Punchline. It is like... And so I'm so comfortable on stage. It's a Thursday night show. I fly in that day and I go on and I'm riffing. I'm doing new stuff. I'm doing crowd work. And I get the light. And I'm just like crestfallen. I'm like, fuck, man, I want to keep going. So I said to the crowd, I go, my hotel's across the street. If anybody wants to come over, I'm going to do a podcast and I'm going to keep talking to you guys.
You told the fucking crowd that?
I had 22 people.
In your room?
In a room. It was a little suite.
Yeah, I remember those rooms.
And the club owner came.
Listen, bro,
Molly Schmidt.
Yeah.
Molly
San Francisco's
came over.
Junior king of the junior suite. A closet
yeah, yeah,
with a
yeah,
bed
right,
in
right,
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So Molly Schmidt came over and 2 hours. I did a podcast. I was interviewing everybody. I was talking. And I put it out in 2 parts. And to this day, I get people coming up to me that come back to my shows in San Francisco and they're always like, it's like they have a golden star on. They're like, I was there.
I was in the room.
I was at that show.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear some of these stories you prepared for us. You haven't talked about yet.
Yeah. I mean,
do I get to pick one or do you have any?
Pick one.
You know what's so funny? I am such a huge fan of Little Italy's.
Oh, okay.
You don't even know. Baltimore's got a great one.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they got a great one.
Wow.
And the food there, I'm an Italian American.
Yeah.
So I love the Little Italy's. I like to go check out their shops and their food and stuff. And you got a Little Italy on here. So let's start.
Well, when I moved down in New York, I had a comic friend that got me into this building. It's very hard to get into a building in Soho, Little Italy, because they're all rent-controlled tenements. And the rent is nothing.
Is that right?
Yeah, because these old Italian families, they don't give up the apartment. They just sublet them. And so they've had it since the 1940s.
Oh, shit.
And, you know, the rent doesn't go up. And so I get into this place, and it's a one-bedroom, and they got the studio next door, and they illegally busted a door between the studio and the one-bedroom. So it's a two-bedroom, and I move in there, and the landlords are Tony and Gladys Rago, R-A-G-O. And I come in, and Gladys wears a house coat all day and slippers, and Tony's got, like, the silk shirt, the chains, but they're, you know, and they're in their 70s. They're deep in their 70s. And so I come into the apartment. It's furnished. Couch with the plastic on it. The Italian end tables with like little doilies on top, shag carpet. And so they go, it's all, I go, this is fucking amazing. This is great. My rent for the entire place was $600.
Damn.
So, and I got a roommate. And so I was like, all right, this is fantastic. And they leave. I open up the table. There's a drawer in the table in the living room. And there are shell casings and an eavesdropping, like a phone eavesdrop, like a recorder for a phone. Just like random weird shit. And so downstairs, literally underneath the building, is the Ravenite Social Club, which was John Gotti's social club.
No.
That's where they hung out.
Oh, dude. You're living above Gotti's hangout?
Yes. So 441 Mulberry Street. And so
we'll bleep that. No, just kidding.
Yeah. No, it's still there. And I mean, and it was old. Like the floors were so slanted that, like, I remember I dropped an orange one day and it rolled across the floor.
It rolled down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the shower had a drain in the middle of it. It was like a square shower. And you would halfway through the shower, you would have to kick water into the drain because it was collecting on the side. Tin roofs with mice. You could hear the mice going above your head at night while you're sleeping.
I just watched a Gotti documentary. Because I'm fascinated by, he was the last, you know what I mean? Like Teflon Don, but he was the last of the guys that was like, I don't know what you're talking about, and I'm taking it to my grave.
Right.
And the story about his son, you know, about his son being hit by the neighbor.
Yeah.
And then the neighbor disappears.
Yeah.
And on Gotti's deathbed, they came to him and they said, could we tell us, please? We'll just like to give the family some closure and wrap this thing up. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. And took it to the other fucking side. And I'm watching them come in and out of the hangout you're talking about. And I remember thinking, for guys that dressed so well and stuff, it was a crude kind of hangout.
Oh, my God.
It was
a
bit of a dumpy little, like,
little
office
storefront
thing.
Yeah. And they busted him because there was a lady that lived on the second floor. And I forget how they got to her, but the FBI got to her.
So what are they doing? Are they working with Gotti or your landlords, or are they?
Well, Tony said to me,
getting paid by.
Tony pulls me aside and he goes, "Hey, if anybody ever bothers you, you tell me, because I know people. You know who I know. I'm not saying who I know, but anybody bothers you, you let me." And it's so funny because then he shuffles out at like 1 mile an hour. And nobody was ever robbed in that neighborhood. You know, there was a guy who robbed an apartment and he was disappeared. They found him and then they disappeared him. And so,
good word.
So I would go over to their son. I'm going to say their son, Anthony, was in construction.
Of course.
In New Jersey. And so they bought Tony and Gladys. I remember they told me that he paid cash for a condo around the corner because it was a 6-floor walk up.
Jesus.
Six That's floors. So Tony and Gladys were not, they were done with the stairs. And so, and the best part about the stairs was everybody was Italian. These people had grown up as children in this building and they were still living there. So you'd come up and the doors were always open because first of all, it was a tenement, so it was hot. So they wanted the air coming through.
But everyone
And second
knew.
Of all, they wanted to know who's coming through the building. So I would come up and there was a, because Tony grew up in that building, there was a Tony they called Tony Girl because she was a girl. And I would come up and Tony Girl would always give me a plate on the way up. She'd give me lasagna, whatever she was making that, because they were still cook. They would always overcook. And so every day I had food from different women and I'd bring it back. So on the first of the month, I would go around the corner to Spring Street where Tony and Gladys's condo was. And I would come in and I would give Tony $500 cash, always cash. And they would make me espresso and they had cannolis. And then
Gladys, making cannolis?
Yeah.
Making them.
Yep. Mm. And then Tony would go into the next room and I would slide Gladys the other 100. And she'd go, Tony, don't need to know about that. That's my bingo money. Because they had bingo at St.
So
Patrick's.
Hold on. Who told you 600 then? Her?
Who? She told me 600.
But
Tony
Tony's
thought it was
pretty
500.
Sure it's 5.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she told you to do it like
right,
that?
Right, right.
That's fucking hilarious.
And so there was bingo night. On Tuesday nights, it was bingo nights at St. Patrick's, which is where De Niro went to school.
Oh, is that right?
Yep. And it's where they shot. Remember Mean Streets?
Mm-hmm.
That was shot at St. Patrick's. That's
okay.
The wall they jump over when they're running from the cops. So Tuesday night was bingo at St. Patrick's, and then St. Anthony's, which was on Sullivan Street, had bingo on Wednesday nights, and these women would show up, and it became like a hipster thing to do to go play bingo with the old Italian ladies, but they didn't fuck around. Like, if you were talking loud, if you weren't paying attention, they laid into
My
you.
My grandma, I used to go play bingo with her
oh,
all
really?
The time. I loved it.
No shit.
Man, you'll laugh. I've told this, but you'll laugh at this. So my grandmother, so after my father dies, that's her son, you know, so
yeah.
She would come spend time with us and she didn't drive. And we're living in this just, we have no parents at this point. We're just living in this little fucking apartment by a firehouse. And
yeah.
My grandma, we pick her up and we bring her out and they have bingo every Friday night. So we go and we're in, I'd say my brother, because I have a twin, my brother and I are in probably like, we're in 10th grade. And my younger brother's in like 7th at this time. And Karate Kid has just come out and it's fucking
okay.
big. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's important because my brother's got the Daniel-san action figure and you could press a lever on its back and it'll kick or it'll chop.
Okay.
You can see where so this is going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, my grandmom's here. She's got her little shawl on and shit. Everybody's dabbing. And you got the old ladies over here, like 40 fucking cards. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they play
yeah,
them all.
Yeah, right,
and they
right,
had
right.
a wand, you know, and it would go. It would get all the chips, you know, like this.
Uh-huh.
So this one lady over here is playing. And my brother's just sitting there and he's flicking his little Karate Kid. I don't know. It must have slipped out of his hand. It hits her fucking cards,
oh,
bro.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It fucks all her. And I mean, it's like 30 cards.
Yeah.
And we're deep in this game.
Uh-huh.
She ain't fucking
yeah.
it. Man. She, and my grandmother is humiliated
oh,
and pissed
fuck.
At all. Like, she's, you know, but my brother and I, my twin brother and I, we don't give a fuck. This is the funniest shit we've ever seen. We're the only thing we're going to get in trouble for is laughing about
That's
it. That's
hilarious.
It. You know what I mean? And my brothers were like, ah, this old lady's like, oh my God. Her shit is everywhere, dude. Hey, Daniel, son, that crane kicked the shit out
That's
of us.
Hilarious.
Cars. It made me laugh so hard. It was a thing, though. We go play bingo with
yeah.
her. I loved it.
Yeah, Italians love the bingo, mm-hmm. but that's the equivalent of Woody Allen in Annie Hall when, remember, he's doing cocaine in Los Angeles and he sneezes
yeah,
over the whole
yeah.
mirror.
Think that QB is going to throw for more than 300 yards? How about that receiver down in Miami grabbing a touchdown? Check out DraftKings Pick 6, the newest way to compete against others and play fantasy football to win cash with DraftKings. Pick a player and choose if they'll have more or less of a stat like yards, touchdowns, catches, and more. Get your picks right and you will win cash. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code HONEYDEW. That's code HONEYDEW for new customers to play $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits guaranteed. Plus, 1 month of NFL Plus Premium on us. Offer expires 9/19. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. One per new customer. Reward issued as $50 in non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 6 months. NFL Plus Premium offer available only to new and former NFL Plus subscribers. Additional NFL Plus Premium terms at nfl.com/terms. From the trail to the campsite, hydration and energy are key to successful outdoor adventures. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier Plus Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do. And they've combined their popular peach flavor with highly requested blackberry to awaken your senses and keep you coming back for more. We love Liquid IV here. You know, we got it at the studio. We take it when we tour. It's been great to have running around as a dad on summer breaks. It's easy. It's convenient. I love it. Can't get enough. Hydration Multiplier Plus Energy delivers energy comparable to 1 to 2 cups of coffee through about 100 milligrams of naturally occurring caffeine. All-in-one formula provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone, with 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. Take on the great outdoors with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code HONEYDEW at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code HONEYDEW at liquidiv.com. Now, let's get back to the dew.
But yeah, I lived in Little Italy. I was there for like 9 years. And I mean, I got to know that neighborhood. Everybody knew each other. There was a girl, Gina, and she used to walk her dog every day up and down Mulberry Street. People would stop her. They give her $1 and they play the number, you know? The number was it was a mob thing. It's still a mob thing. And basically you pick 3 numbers out of 1,000. And the last 3 numbers of the purse at Aqueduct, of the horse race the day before, they always list the purse, how much was bet. The last 3 numbers is the number. And so that pays off. So if you pick 369 and the last 3 numbers is 369, you get $1,000 or whatever the payoff is.
Dude, that's interesting. That's different than the way our guy did it. When I worked at UPS, shout out to UPS, Baltimore Hub, Primary One, Joe Avenue. Also, they're closing that fucking hub, but they are reopening it. They're remodeling.
I'm glad you keep in touch.
There was this guy. People keep sending me links. They're closing the hub. They're closing the hub. I've been gone since the 90s. But I keep it alive.
Yeah.
There was a guy in there named Pat that had, he worked for this. Well, he was given a job by the state. So this dude was an older dude, probably in his mid to late 70s, false teeth and shit, hardcore white dude like yourself, little bald, little white wispy hair on the side, glasses, arms rolled up. And he served 18 years of a 20-year life sentence. Because he came home and caught his best friend and wife fucking in their bed, and he shot them. And I think
both of them?
He shot both of them. But she, I believe, lived. The guy died. So he got 1 for that.
Damn.
And he said this was before crime of passion or any of that stuff that you could argue these days. So he got a 20-year sentence and did 18 of it. And he had a big fucking prison tat. It was a big rat, a big one, holding its dick with 2 hands. I swear to God. It was a little tiny cat here that said, "Here, kitty, kitty." That was his fucking. But this dude was a legend.
How does that go over with the first job interview out of prison?
He's, but see, here's the thing. He doesn't work for UPS. It was a hub, so it's massive.
Yeah.
You got the 18-wheelers coming in and the package cars, and they had a break room that had like 30 vending machines and stuff. His job, given by the state, was you sit in that cafeteria and you make sure everything is stocked.
Uh-huh.
He would keep our lunches cold.
Right.
But he was the guy that you would go do your football with. Okay. You want to do college. You
know? Yeah, yeah.
But the way he ran numbers was they used the actual lottery on TV.
Oh, okay.
So instead of me giving my money to the government, uh-huh. I'm giving it to Greg Fitzsimmons.
Yeah, you get a better
cut. And Greg's paying me more if I hit that pick three or pick four.
Yeah, if it's 1,000 to 1, I think they paid out 800 or 900 because it was the VIG.
Do the three or the four with this guy. Yeah. And the way he would do it, I don't know what time he'd get in there to start his day. He'd be like 12 to 10 or something. Yeah. I'd get into like 4 at night and I'd work till 3 or 4 in the morning. That was my schedule. And every night he'd leave around, I don't know, like I say, 8 maybe.
Uh-huh.
And everybody would be like, I'm going ahead. They'd go to the bathroom and you had to go down through the cafeteria to go to the other side. And he would just, all he did, he didn't say anything. It was just a napkin.
Yeah.
It had 3 numbers and 4 numbers.
Wow.
And everybody knew what it was. Yeah. And they left it right the fuck there. And I'm telling you, Greg, like, my bosses, I became a supervisor. They all played.
Yeah.
They all played. The top UPS guys were playing, running numbers through that guy. Right. But I never heard it done like that. That's interesting.
Yeah. And when I caddied, I used to caddy at a golf course in White Plains, New York. And there was a guy named Bobby O. He was the caddy master. And all the caddies would be down in the yard. And then the members would come down and they'd send you out. And when the fall started, you'd get to play golf until they played till like late November. And so football season, he would sell the betting sheets. And so if you were a caddy and you bought, you know, one card, you get a shitload. You bought 2, 3, 4, 5 cards, 10 cards. Then you get the big tippers. Then you get Tompkins.
I see.
You get Lowen. The guys that are going to throw you $50. Yeah. Back then, $50 was a lot. You used to get $12 a bag. Used to go out there for 4.5 hours.
For 12
with two fuck, well, 2 bags, so $24.
On your shoulders, no
on
carts.
On my fucking shoulder. The average round is 7 miles. And this was a hilly-ass course.
Is that right? 7 miles?
I weighed 120 pounds. Boiling hot sun.
$24 over, it's like $6 an hour. You're out there dragging bags around.
And I used to, and the course was 7 miles from my house. I used to get on my bike, 6:30 in the morning in the summer, hungover, ride my bike to the course, 4.5 hour carrying it, another 7 miles home. And then I would go out, drink my face off, do blow, get there the next morning, do it again.
And put your body through 21 miles too. Isn't it crazy what we used to be able to do?
I didn't even think about it.
Tell me, give me.
Bobby O. Yeah, so he'd sell the betting ticket, and then the members would come down, and they would buy tickets. And if they bought a lot of tickets, they got Killer Kalaki, who was the best caddy. He was a Marine. Well, he tried to be a Marine, but he was too psycho.
Oh yeah.
So they wouldn't let him in. But you'd see him out in the fairway. He'd have a putter. If a plane went by, he'd be tracking the. He'd be in a tree. They'd hit the ball. He'd be, where's Killer? He's in the fucking tree.
Killer. Also, how fucked up do you have to be not to be let into the goddamn Marines?
He's too crazy
of
for
all
the Marines.
Of them, the Marines,
right. And then if you only bought one ticket, you got me. You got the worst caddy in the yard.
Tell me about breastfeeding. What's this
story? Oh, okay. So my wife is a doula. She's a postnatal doula and a lactation consultant. So she helps women breastfeed.
So I used to go to the pump station. Did she ever work there?
She probably worked there, but she went there when she
they
was pregnant.
They gave me a beer.
Yeah, they say it's good for the...
I thought it was a joke. No, not even her. Like, I went in and it was all these ladies, but I went with my daughter's mother because I wanted to just learn about everything.
Yeah.
Breastfeeding and all that. And the lady's like, would you like a beer? And I go, sure. You know, joking back, I thought. And she goes, yeah, they're in the back. I was like, wait.
That's great.
You have beer in the back? She goes, yeah. I go, I don't know. I kind of feel like a dick that I'm drinking alcohol and nobody else is in here. And I think... Well, I realized later she wanted me to. So I drank. So I'm sitting there and people are sort of looking at me.
Uh-huh.
And she gave the whole thing like, you know, listen, you're not the first person to ever have a fucking baby. Uh-huh. This shit's been going on for a gazillion years.
Yeah.
Do women in Japan eat sushi? Yes. Do women in Europe have a glass of wine while they're pregnant? Yes.
Yeah.
And she's giving them realistic expectations because people think they got to go to zero.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, well, they say stout. I don't know if it's an old wives' tale, but they say stout when you're breastfeeding. It actually helps the milk. I don't know if that's true or not. But so when we had a baby, our first baby, actually both our kids, she breastfed for 2 years.
Wow.
Which is crazy, because first of all, she's got nice big tits. So when she'd pop them out, guys would linger. Like
linger. They're circling and shit now.
Pulling out dollar bills. And I'd see the women, like my family's Catholic. So like at Christmas, she'd pop out a tit and clear the room, except for like my cousin Danny. He'd kind of linger.
Killers in the tree over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
So, your cousin's lingering.
Yeah, yeah. It was before cell phones, so there'd be a lot of photos of that shit. So her mom comes out. I think Owen was about 3 months old. And her mom comes out and she goes, look, you guys, you've had a rough time. Why don't you take off for a night? We get a hotel. We live in Venice. We got a hotel in Marina del Rey. 2 miles away.
Yeah.
Because we said, we're not commuting. We're not wasting. We're not going to leave the room. We're going to go to the restaurant and
eat. Yeah.
So we get to the hotel room. We check in and we just have nasty sex. And then we go take a walk on the beach. We go and get some dinner. And then we go back to bed. Can't even have sex again because we're so tired. Pass out. And we're like, you know, tomorrow morning, we're going to wake up. We're going to have sex again. We're going to sleep late. We're going to have brunch. We're going to get a full night's sleep. 3 hours later, I wake up to her crying. I'm like, oh, Jesus, what is she? Missed a baby or, you know, can't have one night. And she goes, it's my breasts. They're engorged.
Oh, yeah.
She goes, I need to drain. I go, where's the pump? She goes, I forgot to bring the breast pump. I go, well, Jesus Christ, what are you? I go, you can't tough it out. She's like, no. She goes, it's killing me. I got to go home. I go, we're not going home. We're going to sleep late. We're going to have sex again. We're going to have brunch with. And she's like, you don't know. This really hurts. And I go, there's nothing else we can do. She's like, no, the milk's got to come out. So I look at her. I think you know it's coming.
Yeah, I hope.
I go, I'll get it out. And she goes, you're not breastfeeding. I go, yeah, I am breastfeeding. She says, it's not going to work. It's hard to do. I go, I'm a 30-year-old man. I'm thirsty right now. So she pops one out. I put it in my mouth and I start sucking on it. And nothing's coming out. She's like, no, you got to get underneath. You got to get your tongue working on the butt. She's moving her breast. She's adjusting my head because she's a lactation. She knows how to do this.
Yeah, she knows what to do.
And so she's doing it and it takes a minute. And then all of a sudden, there's like a squirt. It was like a hot soy latte. It was sweet.
It hit the back of my throat.
And then I go, it's working and it's spilling down. And she goes, no, you got to keep the suction. You got to keep sucking. You can't let, which means I can't spit it out. You have to keep the suction. You got to swallow it.
Because once you break the seal, then
it's gone. And you got to start all over again, get in the right position.
You're swallowing.
So I'm swallowing it and I'm going and I'm swallowing it and I'm holding the bottom and I'm squeezing it and I'm swallowing it.
Is it working?
And I get to the second breast and I start working that one. And then it starts to feel, I'm getting kind of turned on. There's something very carnal about it. And so I start rubbing against her and I'm between her legs and we start grinding and we start having sex. And we're having sex while I'm sucking milk out of her breast. And by the end of it, she's coming and I'm coming and I got milk dripping down my face. And it was like the most carnal animal. It was just like, yeah!
And you helped her.
And I helped her. So we passed out, woke up in the morning, had sex, had brunch.
Oh my God,
dude. We come home. And my son's waiting for it.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at cosi.org.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
And he's crying and he wants to breastfeed. And I'm just looking at him like, you're a little late to the party, asshole. And then the joke was on me because adults are not meant to drink that.
I had
diarrhea for 2 days. I had diarrhea.
Mother's milk. God damn, that's great, dude. Yeah. That is fucking great.
Yeah.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet. Resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
Okay, let's hear massage. What's massage?
Oh,
you might have told this on the Crab Feast back in the day, but tell it.
All right. I have a couple massage stories. I'll tell the one I think I didn't tell on that one. So it was my birthday, and my wife got me a coupon to go get a massage. I'd never had a massage before in my life. And so it's a Thai place on Lincoln Boulevard in Venice. And I'm like, all right, I'm a little nervous, but I'm like, all right, this will be great. Full body massage. I walk in. Little Thai lady answers the door, you know, tiny.
I've been to Pho Siam where you think they're tiny and that lady killed me.
Well, she walks down the hallway and she's walking in front of me and she's got on little slippers and she's, you know, ding, 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 ding. That wasn't the music, but that's what I heard in my head. And so she goes in the room and she goes, you know, you take off your clothes and get under towel and she leaves. And so I take off my clothes. I lay face down. And then a couple minutes later, the door opens and she starts rubbing on my feet. My feet are ticklish, so I'm kind of squirmy. And then she gets to my calves. And like you said, like the thumbs, she's digging into the calf, digging into the shin. And like, I'm having cramps. I'm laying there going like, who pays for that? Like, why would anybody do this? And so she keeps digging into the calf. And I don't want to say anything because I don't want to feel like a pussy.
Thank
she's
you.
4 foot
Our
11.
Dumbass ego. Yeah. I'm doing the same right. thing. I'm sitting there. I'm laughing
yeah,
into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like, right. My too hands hard are gripped underneath.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's way too
and I'm
hard.
Going, and I'm laying there like, I got to take it for the USA. And so she works her way up and she does the thigh and then she gets to my butt cheek and she oils it up and she does some deep, she's going deep into the glute, hard circles, like deep, deep, where you start worrying about your hygiene. Like, did I take a dump today? You know, you start wondering about what's she going through right now, what she's seeing. And
what
then
she's seeing.
Because I didn't think about it. Like, I don't know that I shower, but you know. And so then she gets to, you know, that little crease between your ass cheek and
your
the thigh? Under the ass.
Yes.
So she's hitting a pressure point in there with her finger. And then there was like a slight grazing of the balls. Like just a line. I was like, all right. So she goes to the other leg, does the calf, does the thigh, does the ass cheek, gets in the crease. Second ball graze. Now you got my attention. So now she goes, okay, you flip over now. And so I flip over and I look up and it's not the little woman from before.
Who is it?
It's a tall woman, red lipstick, and what appears to be an Adam's apple. The old bait and switch. So I was like, all right, whatever. So now she's rubbing my knees and then she's rubbing my thigh and then she starts to rub toward the inside of my thigh. She goes a little higher and I start to feel a little pressure. I start to feel like I'm not in control of the situation. Like if this gentleman had reached under the towel at that moment, I don't know that no is on the tip of my tongue. I don't.
Well, his hand's on the tip of your dick.
And I'll never know what happened because at that moment, cops raided the place. She got raided. She runs into the alley.
You got a man massaging you and you fucking...
I mean, if there was ever a moment and they run in and the cop comes in and he's like, how much did you pay her? And I'm like, I didn't pay her. I came in. It's my birth. My wife gave me a coupon. I'm like, I got a coupon.
My wife sent me to this.
My wife sent me here. And so he goes, just get dressed, get out of here. So I put on my clothes as fast as I can.
I'll bet. Like, what do you hear? Him yelling and coming in or what?
We hear knocking on doors, doors swinging open, grunts, a lot of footsteps.
How many cops?
Three
of them. Okay.
And so I put on my clothes. I get out of there and I'm walking out. I'm just, you know, I got oil on me. I'm filled with shame. I'm pretty confused about a couple things. And then I open the door and there's like three cruisers with their lights on and a little gathering of people waiting to see what scumbag comes slithering out of the, and I'm just looking at him like squinting into the sunlight. Yeah. I'm just like, I got a coupon. My way. So I go home and my wife's standing there and I tell her the whole story. I tell her every detail, everything I just told you. And she just looks at me and she goes, I thought it might be one of those places.
I thought it might be. Well, guess what? It is. I love that they bait and switched you, too.
Oh, my God. That's dirty shit. Dude, I knew that those thumbs were not coming from that little girl.
Do you know what's funny? I never thought of that. If I ever get a massage again, I'm starting face up.
Right.
I'm starting face up because you don't see who comes in after they leave to let you get undressed and they come back. It could be anybody.
That's right.
Man, all these years, I've never even thought of that.
Have you ever gotten a guy massage?
Yes.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, I had to go through PT and everything after all that bullshit. Yeah. So I've had so many men. I even picked, I purposely this time did pick a guy.
Yeah.
I just wanted somebody that could actually get me and knows my body. But yeah. There was when I used to work at... I'll tell you what changed my mind. This guy would come in. I used to work at a hotel here in the 90s called the Beverly Prescott that's Lowe's now at Pico and Beverwill out there. And we had a masseuse come in and all the dudes loved her. But one day she wasn't available. And the guy, they said he was Nadia Comaneci, I think her name was. Like he was one of her trainers back in the day. And he knew the body. Like he knew the body. Wasn't just.
Yeah.
So, every dude was like, nah. But we would get free massages. So we could tell the customers at the front desk, this guy, if you want this. Whoa. And he massaged me. Dude, that's the first man that ever massaged me and then changed my mind moving forward.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that at like a Burke Williams. But if you're a pro, I'd prefer it now.
Yeah.
But yeah. So then I would tell all the guys, I'm like, look, I know that lady's cute and all, but if your back's really fucked up, homeboy here. And they would come down and be like, thank you so much for the... He was the shit. Yeah,
and then it's like, it's amazing how my voice gets... after a good, deep massage, my voice goes like 2 octaves lower. I am at peace. Like, if I had a ton of money... Bob Hope used to get a massage. He had a massage guy every day after lunch.
Every day?
From the same dude. He traveled with him. Got his massage every day. And I just think if I had that kind of money, fuck yeah. Maybe not every day, but definitely twice a week.
Easily.
Yeah. And it's not just the kneading of the muscles, but skin to skin contact is so good for your endorphins. It just releases. It's intimacy. Even if it's from a dude.
Yeah.
As long as he's from a dude. Good looking dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not overwhelmingly good looking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, so I see here Rogan Aquarium, and since you shot your special at the Mothership, let's hear a Rogan Aquarium story. Okay,
so Rogan and I started together. He always says we started the same week in Boston.
Is that
like
right?
Like literally same open mics. We would get to.
Oh no shit!
I'd see him at Stitches Comedy Club at 3 p.m. on a Monday, and you'd put your name on a list, and then all the comics would hang out.
And what year was that?
This was 88.
For all the people that want to know where it starts.
Yeah.
88.
88. Okay. 89. And we'd sign up And then we'd get some lunch. There was a softball game that the comics used to play at a park nearby. 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We'd all play. So it was like all the big comics. It was Louis. It was Laura Keitlinger, Sarah Silverman, Bobby Kelly and Bill Burr and all these guys. Mark Maron. Yeah, he used to get into fights. And then we go back and we do the, and then me and him would get into a car together and we drive to fucking Maine to do 5 minutes for free. Mm-hmm. Rhode Island the next night, 5 minutes for free. And we were so hungry for stage time. So we get this offer. It's like, it was a friend of mine from college and he was working in the like marketing department of the Boston Aquarium, New England Aquarium.
Okay.
And they had some kind of a corporate function. It was the Copywriters Association was having their award ceremony. And they were having it in the aquarium. I guess they had like a meeting room where they did the thing.
Oh, okay.
But there was a cocktail hour before the ceremony started. And they thought instead of having a stand-up comedy show, they said, we'll just hire a couple of comics. It's the fucking craziest idea. And we'll just let them mingle with the guests and be funny.
Just walk around among the tables.
There was a thing called, I think it was called a busker back in the Catskills when it was all those old comics, Milton Berle and Henny Youngman. Like those guys used to walk around and just be funny at the resort.
Table to table. On the property too?
On the property all day, all night.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Just walk around and be
funny.
There's
the fucking court jester over there coming by.
Exactly.
This is our juggling and shit.
Yeah, which by the way, was the toughest comedy gig of all time because if you bombed, you fucking die.
And then you got to see them there and you're on the resort and shit. There's a fucking asshole.
Well, it's like
there.
Being a cruise comic too. Yeah. You bomb, you're going to stay in your cabin for the rest of the trip.
But it's not like you're a magician where you can just bust out a card trick walking around the property and then move on.
Right. You got a guitar, you can play a song, whatever. This is you. They're rejecting you outright. And so me and Joe Rogan get hired to mingle with the guests and make them laugh. And we're not the right comics for this. We are hell-bent on being Kinison and Bill Hicks. Those were our guys. You know, it was like a no bullshit, anti-corporate, anti-establishment state of mind. And so we're walking around and we're like just walking over and picking up like a shrimp off a guy's plate. And the guy's going like, hey, what the fuck, man? And you're like, no, it's good shrimp. And then we basically annoyed people for like an hour. We've pissed off everybody in the place. Rogan's got on a black leather jacket, you know, a guinea TV neck underneath and jeans and black sneakers. And we're just annoying people. And then eventually Rogan finds the microphone for the aquarium. And he turns it on and he goes, will the owner of a 7-year-old in a blue tank top please come to the office? He's floating in the shark tank right now. And he starts making announcements like that. And the fucking management came over and we got tossed.
Tossed? They
no
threw you
check,
out.
No payment, nothing.
Get
dude,
the
we
fuck
laughed
out.
All the way home.
That's good, dude.
Yeah.
Oh,
let me tell you another funny Rogan story. He was dating my roommate, this woman, Jennifer, who was the coolest chick ever. She was a waitress at Stitches Comedy Club. And she had, she was from Staten Island. And she had Staten Island hair. It was big. I mean, we're talking 1990. Big hair. And she had four cans on the sink. She had four cans of hairspray. Two were like for the foundation, for the bottom. And she wanted to go double fisted. So, and then the top, and then she would top it off with the other two. With a bunch of potato chip clips in there. And anyway, so he's dating her. So he would sleep over like every night. And so they're out one night and I'm home. And this sounds like the craziest story. This is a true story. Blockbuster Video we lived in Coolidge Corner in Brookline. So I went down. And I rented Batman. Come back to the apartment, hanging out, pop in Batman. I'm sitting on the couch, lights are out, getting into it. And about halfway through the movie, a fucking bat is flying around the apartment. We had bats in the neighborhood. Window was open, bat came in, it's flying around.
While you're watching Batman, while I'm watching Batman.
And so I have a thing about, I mean, most people have a thing about bats, yeah, but I'm really freaked out. You know, rabies. And so I put on a baseball cap back because I still have hair and I think he's going to get my hair. I got a baseball cap on backwards, sunglasses, and I got a tennis racket. And I'm not chasing it. I'm hiding in the corner. And I'm thinking if he comes close enough,
you're just
I'll get
on defense.
Yeah, right. So this goes on for like a half an hour. I'm terrified. The thing is shadows going. And then and after a while, the door opens. I hear the keys, the door opens, and Joe walks in. He's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" I go, "Dude, there's a bat. There's a bat in the apartment." He grabs a tennis racket out of my hand. He walks down the hallway and I see him and he just fucking like Andre Agassi swats the thing out of the air and kills it, opens the window and throws the bat at
10 seconds.
I felt like a little girl. I got my sunglasses on.
Crouched in the corner. Oh, that's too good, dude. That's too good.
Yeah.
Wait, give me another one here. Let's see. What else we got up there? Porn awards.
Oh.
Yeah, you used to do, did you host
porn?
AVN?
Yeah, I did porn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hosted the AVN Awards twice.
Twice, okay.
It was a tough gig to get because, you know, like Bill Hicks did it. Kinison did it. Like, you know, Richard Jenny did it. Like all these comics that I idolized over the years had done the porn awards. And so I really want, you know, and obviously just what a thing to do in your career. So somebody put me in touch with the guy that ran it, and it was run by AVN was a magazine. It was like an industry newsletter, and they produced the award show. And so they came out to see me at the Improv, and I worked for like a month writing porn jokes. And they came out and saw me, and I crushed. And the guy goes, "All right, you're in." He goes, "But I got to tell you something. There's going to be 4,000 people there. They all consider themselves porn stars. If you don't get their attention in the first 30 seconds, they're all doing coke. They're all flashing their tits for the cameras that are in the audience." He goes, they will not hear you. They will break into conversation and it's over. So I go out there. And of course, like most of my gigs, I can't beg my friends to get out to my gigs. My agents never come and see me. Now, all of a sudden, everybody wants to be on the guest list. So many people. I rented a house in Vegas for my agents. All of my agents wanted to be there. And I was like, fuck it. You know, this is great. So I rent a house and then all my college buddies come out and I go up and my first joke was, I said, "It's great to be here." I said, "You can already see all the porn stars here in Vegas." I was at the gas station and I saw Ron Jeremy filling his car and I knew it was him because halfway through filling it, he pulled it out and he sprayed it all over the car.
Yeah.
And then I start making, there was Christians that were picketing. I did a bunch of jokes about it. So they loved it because they were all about freedom of speech. That was like, that's how they all saw. This was Oscar night for them. This is not, they don't see themselves as trashy. This is like, they're proud of what they do. They hate this freedom of speech being clamped. So I do it and all my buddies are there. And we got, the first time I did it, they all came out and usually they have like the table center is like flowers. And then at the end of the night, somebody gets to take the flowers home. They had dildos and pocket rockets. You know, those fake vaginas? Pocket rockets, right? Is that what they're called?
Pocket pussies.
Pocket pussies, I guess. Yeah. And so everybody takes the pocket pussies. And we go to a strip club. And I'm the VIP because I hosted the show. So I got a limo for the night. And every strip club we go to, we're like ushered through the crowd, right in VIP tables. All the porn stars are hanging out with us. And I hosted it
a porn star.
Yeah, she just died. She was huge. She was the greatest. Anyway, so we go and we've all got the fake pussies and we're laughing and we're using them like puppets and we're showing them to the strippers.
Was it Tracy Lords?
No. I'll think of it. And then we go back to our hotels, 4 in the morning, go to sleep, wake up at noon, And then we're all calling each other. It's like, you know, with the pocket pussy, we're like, did you fuck it? And we're like, yeah, I fucked. Did you fuck it? And like, yeah. Like, that's the thing. If you have a pocket pussy, you're going to fuck it.
You got to try
it. You got to try it. It's not going to sit in your room.
No. Yeah, for that special occasion.
So I use it, and then I'm like, now I have a quandary. Now I'm at a crossroads because it's like, all right, now I got this cummed in pocket pussy. I go, I'm not throwing it in the trash because that's not fair to the maid. She's going to find this gross thing and have to deal with it. I said, I'm not bringing it home in my luggage. And so I slipped it into the pocket of the bathrobe in the closet, and I just left it like a time bomb. Just wait for some douchebag from Cincinnati is there for a convention. He's feeling like the king. I'm the king. I got the robe.
Dude, that is disgusting. I would shit if I saw that in there. I'd be like, what the fuck?
But then you know what? He'd fuck it. Yeah.
He definitely would. This is a great episode, man. Thank you. This is a lot of fun.
Well, keep having me back because
anytime, brother.
I love it. I love talking to you. And you know, you're a guy that even though you didn't like me when we first met.
I didn't dislike you, you didn't like me.
No. Well, it's the accent.
I was like, I don't think Greg Fitzsimmons likes me.
I gotta tell you something. Of all the accents in the country, the Baltimore one is the most grating. So it doesn't make a great first impression.
I think Boston is, if I'm going to be honest with you.
Really?
Baltimore is definitely white trash. It does not make the greatest impression. Right. And I joke all the time. It's like, I feel like this accent is the first, what would you call it? Non-binary accent. Like when I hear somebody say, go get me some cigarettes and lottery tickets or up at the lotto tickets. That could definitely be a woman in Baltimore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. that 100% could be a female in Baltimore.
Yeah. 70 years old, has been smoking.
But cheering for teams, it's not a great accent.
But Boston's the one that gets me. That wicked hat and all that shit.
Yeah, I think I.
Even more than Brooklyn or Queens or any of those. Yeah. Yeah. Jersey's a hard one.
Pittsburgh's rough.
Yeah, with the Yinzes and all that. That's where Warder.
Yeah, right.
Philly, Baltimore, Pittsburgh.
Philly's brutal.
It's the same. It's like a cousin.
There are variations on them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. But then you get the Southern accent, and it's like, it's either syrupy sweet and charming, or it feels a little racist, depending on who it's coming from.
Bro, I've been working on this bit that if you're a man 25 or older and you still call your dad my daddy, you probably still say the N-word. And if you don't, you definitely know someone who does. If you're a grown-ass man still saying my daddy,
you're still dropping the N-word. Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah.
Dude, please plug your special again, all of it, one more time.
It's not called Life on Stage. It's called You Know Me, and it's on YouTube, and the website's fitzdog.com. You can link to it from there. And tour dates coming up at fitzdog.com. I think I got Alaska. I don't know, a bunch of places. So check it out. And, dude, thank you so much for having me on.
Please, anytime, brother. You're always welcome here.
Thanks, man.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Austin and Dallas this weekend, Friday at the Vulcan, Saturday at the Granada. Come out, see me, get your tickets for all shows on my website at ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet, resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging a**hole and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.